Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the people online this morning. Welcome to everybody here in the sanctuary. This is West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my pleasure to serve this creative congregation. Today, we celebrate the 100th birthday of Flower Communion. So we all come in a variety of shapes and colors and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward. Some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we appear. Some of us are in bud. Some of us are low to the ground. Some of us stretch towards the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes. Some of us smell. And all of us are beautiful. Today we celebrate Flower Communion. So that's gonna happen. May the flowers come in. Flowers! You may now greet each other. Please greet people that you do not know.
Here we go. Ready or not?
I always
join the circle of wholeness. Welcome to the kindness. Be part of togetherness. Feel a part of the playfulness. Reach out in tenderness. Let go of the bashfulness. Join the wholeness. It's like a mosaic where every piece tells a story. A pretty mosaic, a patchwork allegory. If our colors clash, it only means we cover every base, the larger picture, a smiling face. Join the circle of wholeness. Welcome to the kindness. Be part of togetherness. Feel a part of the playfulness. Reach out in tenderness. Let go of the bashfulness. Join the wholeness. Join the wholeness. Take your time, find your place. Join the wholeness. We have room, we have space. But remember that each one of us is whole enough. We fit together, and you can join. Join the circle of wholeness. Welcome to the kindness. Be part of togetherness. Feel go up the bashfulness, join the wholeness.
Thank you so much, David. We love you. We love you. So I have a few announcements. One is there's coffee after the service, but actually there's so much more than coffee happening. We've got soup. We have all kinds of cookies and treats from the great concert last night. We have cake to honor our youth and our new children who are being blessed today. So, and then there's soup. Did I say soup? So there's lots after the service. If you're online, you can click the link that was in your order of service or on the YouTube channel and go to the nice discussion that happens after the service there. If you're new, I just want to know that you're so welcome today. We are celebrating this very, very old, 100-year-old ritual of community, and we want you to know that you are also welcome here because everyone who walks in our doors is part of our community. So take part. Anyone who didn't bring flowers today, there is abundance. It's like the fishes and the loaves, the flowers, even though I panic every year it won't happen. But there it is. It does. I just want to make an announcement about the rest of the week, which is on Friday night we have a movie night, Luca, which is for people of all ages, from babies to 100 or more. So everyone is welcome to that movie night on Friday. A good time to be with everybody else. So we now will light the chalice, and we're inviting Isaac and Kira to light the chalice for us this morning. And we're going to use the children's chalice lighting, which comes with hand movements. So I'm going to do the hand movements and say the line, and then you repeat back to me. We light this chalice.
We light this chalice.
To celebrate Unitarian Universalism.
To celebrate Unitarian Universalism.
This is a church of open minds.
This is a church of open minds.
Of helping hands.
Of helping hands.
Of loving heart.
Of loving heart.
We take care of each other.
We take care of each other.
And the earth.
And the earth.
So as I mentioned before, this is the 100th anniversary of Flower Communion. The first Flower Communion was on June 4th, 1923. And Flower Communion was started by Norbert Norbert Čopek. And he was a minister from the Czechoslovakian area. It wasn't Czechoslovakia at the time. And he started as a Catholic priest, and then he became a Baptist. And over time, he became more and more liberal. And as things became more conflicted in the area where he lived, he kept preaching liberal religiousism. And he began to be persecuted. So he had to flee for his life with his wife, Maja, and their 8 children. And that is exactly how many children we have in the front row. So you can see that's a lot of children. And so they came to the United States, and that's where Norbert discovered Unitarianism. And he immediately became a Unitarian minister. And after the war, he went back to Prague, Czechoslovakia, where he was from, so he could serve the people there who were struggling mightily. He started a Unitarian church in Prague, and it was a really, really hard time there. It was after the war. Many people had lost loved ones. Their houses were ruined. The city was in shambles. There wasn't a lot of food. There wasn't work. It was very much a time of despair and hopelessness. Church at that time was really different than how we celebrate it now. In most churches in the Protestant tradition, there wasn't music. We didn't sing. There wasn't flowers. There wasn't color. There wasn't candles. There was no chalices. Flower communion outdates chalices by quite a number of years. What happened was people would come to church, and they would sit there, and the minister would talk for a really long, 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 long time. And if you've ever thought my sermons were long, like, just multiply that times 5, okay? It was very long. And in the winter, they didn't even heat the boat. It was very cold. And children had to come to everything. Like, there was no religious education. So Norbert kept thinking, like, I need to lift people out of despair. Isn't that what our church communities should do, is offer hope? And people felt very hopeless. So he actually started writing hymns. And some of those hymns are still in our hymnal today. And so, but it wasn't really enough. And one day he was out walking, and he noticed in this bare place, the dirt was all hard and rocky, and nothing else was growing there. One flower had come up through that bare earth and bloomed. And he thought, oh my goodness, he felt such hope in that flower, like it could bloom in the worst conditions. He just felt like, this is hope, and this is what I want to bring to my congregation. But he really didn't know how. There was no gardens around it, their congregation where they met. There was no woods. There was no flowers. How could they do this? And so he walked, and as he walked, he passed the house of one of his congregants, and there was a child in the yard who came up to him with a flower in their hand and handed the flower to Norbert. And in that moment, he knew just what to do. And so a few Sundays later, on June 4th, 1923, he invited his congregations to all bring flowers from wherever they found them, in their yards, in the forest, at the store, any place they could find a flower, and to bring it to the church And so they did. They brought forth flowers, just as we have done. Each flower, Norbert said, represents each one of you. We are all, each of us, unique and beautiful. And look, when we put them together, they are glorious. At the end of the service, we will each take a flower home with us, a different flower than we brought, or if we brought no flower, a flower, to represent the gifts that we get from this community. And that is the story of Flower Communion. And so today, for our Flower Communion, we have such a great blessing. We are going to bless some children and dedicate them into the congregation. The congregation will offer them their care and love and support. And afterwards, we're going to be honoring some of our youth who are graduating. So it is a wonderful time to do that. So what I would like to do first is to invite the three families up who have Lucy and Perry and Hazel, and their parents can come forward. So the children can stay in the front row because you actually have a part in this service if you'd like. Yeah. Leary and Ursa are going to come up to help support the blessing of their new little sister, Perry. So the poet says, "Your children are not your children. They are the children of life's longing for itself." And this is so true. Children are life's longing for itself to be created over and over. And they are each so precious and sacred. They carry within them, as each and every one of us does, the divine. So let us always hold our children as the miracles that they are. We begin with this poem. What is the root of all, it's from Hafez. What is the root of all these words? One thing, love. But a love so deep and sweet, it needed to express itself with scents and sounds and colors that never before existed. So parents here, are you ready to dedicate your children into this congregation?
Yes.
Will you promise to care for your children with all your heart and soul? Will you share with them the beauty and wonder of this world? Will you raise them to love justice and live with compassion? Will you extend to them kindness and courage? Will you do all you can to help your children discover the divinity within them so they can each become the person they are meant to be?
Yes.
Children of this congregation, will you promise to love Perry and Lucy and Hazel, to play with them,
yes,
to be their friend, to teach them the wonders of life, and to teach them how to play kindly and fair?
Yes.
Members of this congregation, will you share with Perry and Lucy and Hazel the beauty and wonder of our world?
Yes.
Yes.
Will you teach them to live with love and kindness?
Yes.
Will you teach them kindness and courage?
Yes.
Do you pledge to help them discover the divinity within them so they can be the person they were meant to be?
Yes.
Okay, we will first bless Peregrine Mercury Elizabeth Hart. Perry. Perry, you have come to us with stardust in your hair, with the rush of planets in your blood, your heart beating out the seasons of eternity, and with a shining in your eyes like sunlight. And I'm going to give you this flower. Yes, your mom can hold it. Wait, I actually need it back. Sorry, Perry. Yep. We'll get that right. I give you this flower to honor the beauty and divinity that is within you. May you always see the beauty in yourself, and may you trust its light. May you think wise thoughts. May you always love. May you speak kindly. And may you always do good deeds. Perry, may you serve truth, beauty, justice, and love. May the riches and blessings of life be abundantly yours. All right. Let's bless
Lucy Carolyn Francis. To you in a minute. Lucy, you come to us with stardust in your hair. You have the rush of planets in your blood. Your heart is beating out the seasons of eternity. You have a shining in your eyes like sunlight. I'm going to give you this flower, which has little pokes on it, so be careful. To honor the beauty and divinity that is you, may you always see the beauty inside yourself and trust your beauty's light. May you think wise thoughts. May you always love. May you always speak kindly. And may you do good deeds. You, may the riches of life and be abundantly yours. And be careful not to poke yourself. So, let us bless Hazel, Mariah, Sugatha, I'm going to say your last name. Yeah. Like 20 times, and I still got it wrong. Okay. Hazel, you come to us with stardust in your hair, with the rush of planets in your blood, your heart beating the seasons of eternity, with shining in your eyes like the sunlight. I am going to give you this flower to honor the beauty and divinity that is you. May you always see this beauty in yourself and trust its light. May you think wise thoughts. May you always love. May you speak kindly. May you do good deeds. May you serve truth, beauty, and justice. May the richest blessing of life be abundantly yours. Thank you to our family. So this morning we're also going to honor three youth who were raised at WOOP who are graduating this year. This is a time of life, graduation, and the next step that is a time of tremendous change for people. It's full of the unknown, full of opportunities, possibilities, and challenges. And so we're going to bless our youth today. As it turns out, because they are youth at this time of life, we have two of them cannot be with us today. We have one, Joe LaDuca. We're delighted to have him. And our other youth, Jane Transira, who's our representative of the board, is going to come on June 18th to hear a blessing for herself. So we will expect to see her there. But right now, I want you to see the pictures of our three youth. So this is Joseph LaDuca, who's here with us today. And he will be attending Oregon Tech in the fall. And he, while it might be his freshman year, he spent his senior year of high school at Chemeketa trying to earn enough credits to start as a sophomore in computer science and hardware. So our next person, this is Jane Transier, who we will see in person on June 18th. Jane Transier will be a freshman at Oregon State University in the fall, and she's planning to major in political science. And our next person. So Blake Rosiero, and Blake used to be known as Nadia. So if you remember Nadia, Blake and Nadia are the same person. And we haven't seen her in a while. She's grown up. Blake will be attending Pacific Northwest College of Arts in downtown Portland this fall, pursuing a BFA. And so we might see their art in our gallery one day. So we would like to invite Joe forward so that we can give him our blessing. So I offer you a blessing this day. May your mind always be on fire with wonder and wisdom. May your heart be aflame with love for life. May your hands be ignited with purpose. And may your spirit be aglow with compassion and vision. May you always be courageous and kind. You are a light in the world. And you carry our steadfast love with you, wherever you may go. And so I would like this congregate, and we offer you this rose, which interestingly is supposed to have thorns on it, but the children's ones did. But you may take this rose. The idea, how we usually do this, is that babies and children do not get thorns because we're trying to take those off for them during their growing up. But then we give youth ones with thorns because we all know, and you probably are learning, that life is full also of thorns. So we like to invite the congregation to repeat after me a blessing for Joe. We bless you.
We bless you.
We love you.
We love you.
We are here for you.
We are here for you.
May your life unfold with joy. Amen and blessed be.
Amen and blessed be.
Blessings. And so we're going to invite forward. John and Suzanne Riles. And they're going to play for us a song as an offering for our children and youth. And I have one more thing to say, actually, about our blessing of our bridging of our youth. It's downstairs after the service. We have a place where you can sign cards for them to offer them blessings, especially for the people who cannot be here. And we also have a card for Joe's older brother, Philip, who actually graduated during the pandemic, and we were unable to honor him. So there's a card for Philip and for Joe and for Blake and for Jane, and I'm sure they would all love your blessings and well wishes. So, and there's cake to honor them, too, so you can eat cake and sign cards. Okay.
Hi, this is number 1019 in your gray hymnals, and you're welcome to join us on the repeat. This is actually a lullaby for children, so we're singing it to kids today.
We've cleared off the table. Leftover saying, wash the dishes and put them away. I told you a story, tucked you in tight, at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sails to carry you to sleep, over the midnight sea. I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May it keep you good company. Oh, you can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads. And know that I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only treasure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're done. There are girls who grow up strong and bold. There are boys quiet and kind. Some race on ahead, some follow behind. Some go in their own way in time. Some women love women, some men love men. Some raise children, some never do. You can dream all the day, never reaching the end of everything possible to you. Don't be claimed by taunts, by games, but seek out spirits true. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they'll give the same back to you. Oh, you can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know that I will love you still. You can
can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your goods and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're
was so beautiful. Thank you. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him, and I am your lay leader this morning. I'm going to take a moment of gratitude. Yesterday, here at WOOF, we held a labyrinth workshop, and we talked about using the labyrinth as a spiritual tool for meditation, a path of prayer, and to help quiet the mind, which is something I think that we all can relate to. Before we walked the labyrinth at the Spirit of Grace Church, not too far from here, we took a moment in silence and stillness at the entrance to remember what we are grateful for in this life, what we have received, and who and what we hold dear. Walking the labyrinth is a metaphor for the path we travel in life, a path we are all on together. Remembering to be grateful, blessing the people in our lives, and feeling a spaciousness of generosity towards others helps to bring joy and peace and recognition. A recognition that what we enjoy is not just because of us, but because of a community of folks who came before and shared their time, energy, creativity, and love with us. I invite you to take a moment now to pause and reflect on who and what you feel grateful for today. And as you are willing, I invite you to share out loud what comes to mind. Beautiful. Thank you, and so much more that we hold in our hearts as well. Today is Donate the Basket Sunday. For the months of April, May, and June, WOOF is supporting a coalition of faith communities, including Sheer Tikva and the Mental Health Association of Portland, for their winter tent drive. In 2002, over 3,000 people were unsheltered in Multnomah County alone. There's no quick fix to the homeless crisis, and many municipal initiatives fall short of a solution. This initiative will purchase good quality tents over the next several months for distribution in the fall before the heavy rains. All tents will be made available to social service organizations already serving these communities who know where best to direct the need. Tents are not the solution to the crisis, but we can show our compassion by ensuring the most basic of shelters to our unhoused neighbors. More information can be found at mentalhealthportland.org. The hosts may now come forward to receive the offering.
There is so much happiness in the world. We just said what we were grateful for, and there are so many blessings. We all know that. There's also so much pain in the world, so much loss, illness, accidents, death. We can hold all of those things in this community of compassion and care and love. And so at this time in the service, we would like to invite anyone to come up who has a joy or a sorrow and drop into the glass a stone if you have a sorrow. Today, to celebrate Flower Communion, we have rose petals for your joy, so you can put those in the water. After a brief silence, the music will begin, and you may come forth.
This is a reading by Yehada Amichai. The place where we are right. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. From the place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow, and a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood.
Wow.
imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people sharing for today.
Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill.
So I love to imagine and create with other people. This is actually my favorite way to be with other people, is creating. And I've lost my homily, and so we will find it soon. Okay. All right. When it goes well, a team can create something so much more amazing than anyone could do on their own. So think, children, about this. How much fun is it to create a Lego city together, right? That's pretty fun. Or to play house. It's hard to play house by yourself. Or used to be here a while ago, we used to always have spy school in the back, and that was a lot of people creating together. Choirs know how much fun it is to create together. So do filmmakers. We have this idea in our culture that individuals are the creative unit. Certain people are creative. They have creative ideas. Carry them out. And the rest of us are just supposed to enjoy it. And I'm a writer. And sure, I've written pretty cool things. And, you know, that's great and good and fun for me and maybe for other people. But when it comes down to it, I would rather create through collaboration. I love when someone expresses a vision or even a wisp of an idea to a group, and people jump in excited. What about this? I'm wondering, what if? And the idea expands and grows. And people can add what excites them, what interests them, what they know about. There is a lot of mess, typically, and then something fabulous can grow up from it. I really love when people in conflict come together. Instead of just jousting with their proposals or their ideas, they really listen deeply for that core need and want that's being expressed through the proposal, and come up with an entirely different idea that is so much better than the first two, because it's more inclusionary and more creative. In 2012, the Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly, and that's the annual Unitarian Universalist Gathering, was supposed to be in Phoenix. Then Arizona passed a draconian immigration law. I don't remember what it was. Organizations began pulling programs out of Arizona to exert economic pressure on them to change. And many UUs demanded that the UUA do the same and pull General Assembly out of Phoenix. But others panicked. We couldn't really afford to leave. It was so expensive. It would have been a financial disaster area. So they got in a meeting, and finally, people calmed down enough to really listen until a new idea was born to go to Phoenix, but to focus the entire General Assembly on justice, which we did, and it was incredibly meaningful and important. Creativity is mixing together things in new ways. Teams with their diversity naturally just have lots of ideas they can mix together just by talking. To be creative in a team, research shows we need three things. First, we need to know the team's purpose. Why are we here? What are we hoping to accomplish? Are we being a welcoming congregation, having fun, raising money and relationship building? Worship that inspires? The second thing creative collaboration requires is a trusting, caring team. People need to feel safe enough to create. We need to know that we won't be judged. We need to be able to disagree without feeling the other person is thinking less of us or attacking us for our idea. The idea that everything we say or do has to be perfect for us to be worthy is the death to creative collaboration. And it's one of the reasons we work here with covenants about the way we are with each other, so we can practice the quality of creating creative, safe teams to do creative, engaging work together. Being on a trusting team means giving up being right. In this morning's reading, the poet said, "From the place we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard." Being right is a very sterile place. New ideas cannot grow when a person is convicted that their way is the only way. To create together, we have to deeply listen to other people. We have to let ourselves doubt our own idea enough to create possibilities. We have to love enough to believe in the other person. That's where the mole is breaking up that hard soil, aerating it, making it full of the possibilities of life. The third thing a creative team needs is to know how the creative process will work, how the process that they will be using specifically. How is the team going to work together? Who's responsible for what? What process will they use to cast a vision? How will they bring their idea alive? At Easter, we asked, what is growing in you? What is transforming? What is becoming possible? Love. New life, new energy were repeated themes. And I have felt that here at WOOF. Everywhere, green shoots are pushing up through the soil, once bare after the flood of the pandemic. Some have started to flower. Our music program is flourishing. We have new programs like an evening's women's group and a class on the sacredness of the earth. New people bring energy and ideas. And it is such a pleasure for me to watch all that sprouting and blooming. One of the great parts of being in a faith community is having others to create with, others to plant with, grow with, and bloom with. Often creativity begins when we struggle with a problem to solve or a vision to implement, and we don't know how to do it. At WOLF, we want to grow love, compassion, and justice for ourselves, others, and the earth in a world where power typically has another agenda. People have been growing love, compassion, and justice under difficult circumstances for millennia. The only way to have love and justice is if people work at it, struggle with it, and get creative, discovering what we do now in this moment, because each moment requires a different manifestation of love, compassion, and justice work. Look at these flowers. See how lovely they are. They come to us through the creativity of life, just like our children do. Life created new ways to be life in challenging circumstances. That's how evolution works. Changing as they needed to for the different circumstances, always beautiful. And we, human creators, arrange them into bouquets so they have another kind of beauty that we created. Humans are meant to create. So let us all create together. Let us bloom together. And let us bring more compassion to each other, more love to the suffering, and justice to all who need it. We will now celebrate Flower Communion. Scott could come forward. Do we have a mic that he could use over there, Jim, if he grabs one of these? So these flowers don't need our blessing to be wonderful. They already are. They don't need our blessing to be strong. They already have strength deep within them, growing every day.
What they need is a place to grow. They need some care, whether by human hands or by the warm sun and blowing breeze and the toil of bees. They need to be a part of something. They are a blessing now, and they will continue to be a blessing. All they need to do is follow the fullness of life and grow into their true beauty.
We don't need a blessing to be wonderful. We already are. We don't need a blessing to be strong. We already have that strength deep within us, growing every day.
What we need is a place to grow. We need someone to care for us and someone to care for. They need the sun and the wind and the bees, too, to be a part of something grand and mysterious. May the spirit of life flow through us as surely as it flows through the flowers. We are a blessing now, and they will continue to be a blessing. All they need to do is follow the fullness of life and grow into their true beauty.
This morning, as you came to church, you brought with you a flower from your yard, along the road, from a forest, from the rose bush by the driveway, from many different sources, these many different flowers have come.
Here, piled together, they symbolize the creativity of nature. For as various as these flowers are, they do not begin to exhaust nature's inventiveness in creating forms and colors and beauty.
And what nature has done for flowers, nature has done for us. We too are products of nature's creativity. Each of us is unique, mingled together, interacting. We do not become less unique, but rather find our uniqueness heightened.
Here, in this place, here in this human community, we find the fuller dimensions of our individuality, the richer meaning of our existence, the profound delight of this world, and our existence in this world.
My name is David LaDuca, and my pronouns are he and him. It is a great joy to come back to WOOF after quite a long time away. I've joined Confluence, an LGBTQ choir. We're having a gay pride concert in June, coming up soon. At the very top of the staircase, there are flyers and posters and reminders with the dates and times and locations of the concert. If you have a business and you would have a good place to put a poster, one of the concerts is going to be right here in Portland. And we would love to spread the word and support a really loving and wonderful musical community that has welcomed me and my family. So I'm very happy to be here to spread the news about them and to sing this final song. Carry the flame, peace and love until we meet again. Roses are red, violets are blue, flowers of the rainbow say I love you. May we find love and pride as we bloom. Please stand if you are able. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again.
So go forth today knowing that you are beautiful like a flower, knowing you are divine, made of star stuff, amazing, creative like a flower. Knowing that here we have the possibility of creating with each other banquets of love, compassion, and justice. And you may go forth. We have sung Carry the Flame.